thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you were faithful with Pastor Cibele. We're thinking how hard he labors, but he doesn't think it as a labor because it's not supposed to be. Like we're doing something for you, but we are constantly responding to you. So thank you that we have learned from these various men of God this type of a living by your Holy Spirit, that it's constantly responding to the risen life and to the cross that is always our tree of life. So we thank you, Lord, in your precious name. And thank you, Lord, for being our rich provision for today. Thank you for being our ability. And thank you for keeping us always on that point where we recognize that our weakness is your opportunity at a place where we just meet your strength, Lord. So thank you again for the cross, for its forgiving power, but also that it keeps us in a place where we can say, not I, but you, that you may increase and we may decrease, but in that order, that is your increasing that causes us to decrease. It's in that order that keeps it in the faith rest. It's not us decreasing first that could cause our focus to be on ourselves, but as we look to you, you may increase that we may decrease. We thank you that you put such an amazing way how you've given these things to us, that we may know the power of your resurrection and then the fellowship of your sufferings. There's something of the resurrection first. We thank you that there's that touch of resurrection. There's a victory first, and then we see how it plays out. We don't fight for the victory, but from the victory. It is our natural tendency always to forget that and go back to something else. But then also we thank you that you translate to us some of those thoughts that we're going to read from your word now. Thank you for placing us in this human life where you have placed us, in a place of a blessing. We thank you for every assembly in the world that preaches the Son of God and the true Word of God, the Father and the Son. We praise you, bless you for every place, but thank you that we are one of those, and we can be, it can be said of us that when one member is blessed, others are blessed. And especially we join ourselves with the suffering church also. We pray for the suffering church in China, in African countries. We pray, Lord, that you strengthen them where they are. You truly strengthen them where they are. That we see ourselves that we're one with them, one spirit with all those also that suffer. And then, Lord, whatever happens in the prophetic scene, we thank you, Lord, that it is all under your hand. It's all by your wisdom. And sometimes things that look bad are not as bad. And things that look very good are not so good. Because we are not able to evaluate anything as of our own ability. But our ability is of God. We cannot think of anything as of ourselves as we ought to. But our ability concerning anything is of you. All the rest is deception. So we're very careful and afraid of the natural mind. Natural mind versus Bible prophecy mind. Natural mind versus the priestly mind. Natural mind versus the eternal mind. The cross and resurrection mind that is in that, in your spirit, given to us in your word. So we thank you that we've been, over the years, had the grace to hear these things. But we need to hear them anew. We need to hear them anew. We need new, fresh manna each day, each morning. So we pray, that, as the psalmist prayed, that you be the lifter of our heads. There are people that are in amazing trials and situations. where we cannot even lift our own heads. You'd be the lifter of eyes. And when you lift our heads, then we can say, I lift up my eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. And then we can say, like the Messiah said, I thank thee, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hid these things, you've hidden these things from wise and prudent, and revealed them to babies. So thank you, as we turn to your word now for a few moments, that you will speak to our hearts something what you want. But it's not just always like, bless us, Lord, how much we need your blessing. We can do nothing without your blessing. But it's actually, we are the bridal part for the groom. We are for you. You came to reach us, to save us, to lift us up. But the greater grace is if you open our eyes to see that you're zealous to have us for yourself, that draws us out of ourselves, out of our self-consciousness, even out of our own world. When you draw us out of where we naturally would be, you draw us to your world and to that love relationship where it's finally, it's no more that my beloved is mine and I'm his, and how precious that is. But in the end it will be, I am my beloved's, and his desire is toward me, in your precious name. Amen. I love this idea that we look at everything through the lens of the scripture. I don't believe they should be ignorant and not know what's going on in the world. That wouldn't be wise. But we need to look at everything through the lens of the scripture. That is the only way to understand. The most dangerous thing is the natural mind. We always gravitate to that. I do. But thank God it says in Psalm 119, as my soul glisses to the dust, quicken thou me according, or as your word. So in other words, to a new covenant believer, it's like, it's not only according to your word, but it's more literally as your word, as you are alive in us. And your word is alive, so don't let this haziness of the world cause us to be in a stupor and a sleep concerning that state of life where you placed us. But I do want to turn to this topic a little bit. There'll be so much more to say about that Aramaic track. I'll say one thing about that, because we still left some things hanging in there. In the master's mother tongue, Israel was Hebraic speaking. There were a couple of towns that spoke Greek, but it is not that because Greeks had conquered that area that now everybody spoke Greek. Greek wasn't the language of the people. You know it also from Acts 1, where it says that this field was called in the language of the people Achel Dama, which is the field of blood. Achel Dama is not Greek. Nothing against Greek. But the language of the people was Aramaic. So as our Lord spoke in the Gospels, particularly in the Gospel of John, these great statements, I am, I am. In Aramaic New Testament, 25 I am statements. But there he is not saying I am. He's saying the double, I am I. The way, the truth, and the life. It's really I, the way, the truth, and the life. But he has the I of humanity. He has the I of divinity. He's one, but it is I. It's like, I understand your world. I understand the Father. I am I, the way, the truth, and the life. I am I. I. It is very similar to Ehyeh Asher Ehyeh, I am that I am, in speaking of Moses. But when he spoke with the double I, you know, many teachers actually, some people have said that, well, the Yeshua is more down home to me because his mother called him that. But we are free. I'm not one of those people that's demanded you have to use Hebrew names. No. I'm just me. That's all. So some people say, but Yeshua didn't really say straight that he is God. What Bible have they been reading? Maybe. Okay. When he said 25 times, I am I, there was no question in the mind of the hearers what he was saying. And the second thing when he said, amen, amen, I say to you. Look at the book of Isaiah. When he says, I am I that wipes away your sins and does not remember it anymore. There's at least three times in Isaiah, there's the Messiah code. Amen, amen. And that they that bless themselves should bless themselves in the God of truth. In English, Hebrew says, in the God, in the name of the God of Amen. I lost my Bible in the Dead Sea, where all these things marked. I haven't had time to mark this Bible. And I have a visual memory. I got a new Bible that's exactly the same. Pastor Dan Stambowski, David Stambowski, gave it to me. Wonderful gift. Same Bible, but I haven't had time to mark. But you know in the concordance where it talks about the God of truth in Isaiah, that's a God of Amen in Hebrew. So the Amen, Amen is a Messiah code. And when he says, I believe it was 25 times also in Aramaic text, Amen, Amen. It's something like that. Amen, Amen, I say to you. When the rabbis listened to him, they had no question in their minds. Because they said, I speak in the name of this rabbi, and this rabbi, and this rabbi, and this rabbi. They quoted the rabbis, and he comes and says, verily, verily, amen, amen. The King James, verily, verily, is very good because it repeats the same phrase. And so you're wondering, what is this verily, verily? That's the amen, amen. Most assuredly, it's a good sense of it. So either way, and I have no idea what the English standard. I don't know how they say that. English standard or American standard. I don't know if they say verily, verily, or most assuredly. But most assuredly, I'll say to you now that it's amen, amen. That's the God. That's the God of amen. So when he speaks like this, these things are coming out. Just this one thing. Let me just throw one thing here. John 15, Yohanan 15, the grace of God, grace of the Lord, chapter 15. Amen, amen, I say to you, I am the... Let me read it in the authorized version, which I like. It's a good version. Chapter 15. I am I. Or I. It's a double I. I like that double I. God and man. Eternity in time. His spirit in our spirit. The total answer. The way that no man can speak. And then it says here, the true vine. The emphasis would be there on the vine, that this is really the true vine. This is really the real thing. This is the real. The emphasis would be on the vine, but in his words, it is I am the vine of truth. The vine of truth, the vine of reality. So if he's the vine of truth, then the truth grows in the branches producing truth. Then the truth is dynamic. And remember in the book of Acts, it says, so the word of God grew mightily. Very interesting. And then, therefore, it doesn't talk in the scripture about correct doctrine, even though correct doctrine is important. It talks about sound doctrine. What is sound doctrine? Healthy doctrine. What is healthy? Healthy is organic, something that grows. And in terms of the apostle, produces truth as you receive the gospel, and it produces fruit as it is in you and in all the world. I'm talking from Colossians 1 now. So this is so powerful. It is so live, so vivid. We have healthy doctrine. Correct doctrine, right doctrine is good, but it's not enough. Well, let me put it differently. From man's point, it is right doctrine. But from God's viewpoint, is his increase in us. Is his increase in us as his nature grows in his members. Now, I wanted to say a few words this morning about the following. In the Word of God, we have priesthood, and we have prophecy. I so much enjoyed the classes that came out. The services were, we heard about the Messiah being prophet, priest, and king. Prophet, priest, and king. Now, it's important to understand the relationship to prophecy, relationship of prophecy to priesthood. Prophecy actually is helping, upholding, strengthening priesthood. Prophecy is for priesthood rather than priesthood for prophecy. Prophecy is what we need when we're living in time zones. Prophecy is the message of hope. Prophecy is nothing to eat, but everything to inspire. Let's put it like this. When the most powerful prophet that we know of, Elijah, it became Elijah here somehow. Elijah, right? Yeah. So I say Eliyah, then you know who I'm talking about, right? Yes, Eliyah. So when Eliyah, he was the man, wow. You read James, Yaakov, James chapter 5. It says he was a man weak like we are, weak in his own humanity, and yet he prayed and prayed and prayed that it would not rain. And then he prayed again that it would rain. We know from the historic sources that when they have the image of God called Baal, which here is Baal. No, he's not bailing out anybody. He has no power. No, he's not a bailout. But they thought he's going to bail them out from bad weather. There's a statue of Baal who has lightnings in his hand because they believe that The power of rain is in his hand. And then they had this wicked system of worship, which was combined with lewdness. Lewdness is like they had these priestesses and orgies and all that. And the whole nation basically went under this deception, the northern kingdom. They succumbed to this filth. We're right now in a phase where some people would call it like a baptism of filth on the earth. But we need that same mindset that this prophet had. That mindset was that if I'm not going to go to God, I'm not going to trust my own flesh. I don't have powers that others don't have. I'm just a common man. People always refer to him Eliyahu Hanavi, Eliyahu the prophet, Elijah the prophet. But James says he was a man just like any of us. That was his starting point. I'm a man with weaknesses, so I have no choice. I'm going to go to God, my only source. I'm not going to go with that baptism of filth. I can't. I have to stand for the Lord in this kingdom. In the southern kingdom was still different, but in the north, I have to, even if I'm the last guy, I'm going to pray. God will shut the heavens. Because they say if we worship this bailout God, Baal, we're going to get the rains. I'm going to prove to them they have no rain. Whatever happens, I have no choice. And I can't go with this filth. So we need this spirit to stand against the filth of the world. No man can stand against it in their own power. It's got more to it than we just said. By the way, when Dr. Billy Graham came to this city, I was in a stadium when he had my wife and I were in the audience stadium. Was it 82 or 83? Who can remember? It's the beginning of 80s. 82, there we go. And when he started his message, he said that there was like a dark cloud upon this city. He said this city had not really experienced a revival like many places have. And he said he was conscious of it and felt definitely need to come here. And I happened to stumble to the... How many of you know what the word Baltimore means? Who knows what the word Baltimore means? You know Pastor Vieira, right? Okay, I don't know if you have the same information aside, but what I've studied is that it's Baltimore, the circle of Baal, and you have a Druid Hill. You got a Druid Hill there. See, so... There's two witnesses here. Okay, so I propose that from now on, it's no more Baltimore, it's Eltimore, the city of God, the circle of God. So next time I'm coming to Eltimore. But I don't know how the travel agency reacts to that. I say, can I have a ticket to Eltimore? Circle of Baal, I hate that. But you know, it doesn't matter. When Paul was traveling that boat, what was called, whatever it was called, Astor and Paul, whatever it was called, those were weird idol type of names. And he traveled on it. It doesn't matter what we call it. But to me, it's Eltimore. The body of the Messiah is here, and not only in this room, but wherever are his people. We are a part of that body, and we're here. So it's God's circle. Yes, Pastor Vieira.
While you're on this subject, I couldn't keep my hand up. I wanted to know if you think there is a prophetic significance to what's going on in Tel Aviv which seems to be a problem for the future in terms of the populace of Israel.
When you said Tel Aviv, you mean...
Like, you know, the gay marches that have been taken all over.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. I think it's at least 13 years now that we've had these gay marches. I still remember one of these a couple of years ago when I was in a when I was still working in a shop. I thought, should I just go early from my work and try to go past some literature there, or should we try to protest, or what should we do? And at some point we had prayer meetings. I took part of the prayer meetings against them. And when we were praying with other believers, actually a war started, and that year it was canceled. But I have this sense in my heart. I just felt like the still small voice of the Lord was communicating to my heart that at some point, very soon, there's two men gonna come show up, and when they will say to them, "Do you have a visa to come here?" They'll say, "We don't need one. If anybody needs, it's you. We don't need a visa." They say, "We came to tell you what to do and what heaven is saying about these things." And if they have a choice to listen, and if they don't listen, these have powers to do what we don't have powers to do. But this is unbelievably amazing thing that in the holy city of Jerusalem, I mean, Tel Aviv too, that these most wicked things have been done there. Now, I could go much more into this thing, but this is also going to be short-lived. It's amazing how the Lord gives a long leash to this dog, but then he's going to pull it back, and he's got everything measured to the very date. But let me say this then. Okay, Eliyahu, he prayed. To him it was like, it's God, it's the truth, it's the Spirit, it's our union to him, and we're not going to go for the wicked world. And he stood. Now, he had another lesson. He had to learn that he is not alone. These kind of pioneers usually have the sense that they see themselves, they are it. But they're not it. There are more that support them behind the scenes. Yeah, right. But the point what I was making is that he was like, he offered the burnt offering then. He stood against all these false prophets, and what he offered was a burnt offering. The burnt offering is that which is holy to the Lord. That's prophecy. It's like there's such a zeal, there's such a vision, there's such a stirring of the Spirit when heaven has been offended. But there's no food in the burnt offering. It's holy for God. After this man came another prophet that was a priestly prophet more. His name was Elisha. Our Lord is salvation. Eliyah is God is the Lord. My God is Yahweh. Elisha is my God is salvation. I have the Savior God. So Elisha was the man that had the pots of food. Prophecy is vision. The prophet comes with his staff. The prophet has a word. The prophet is not necessarily saying anything that is new. But when he says it, it's from the connection of heaven. It's like a light beam that lightens the moment, that gives clarity to the soul, and it strengthens what God is doing in the priesthood, his union with man through his son. So prophecy is important to to give direction. And by the way, people easier gravitate to prophecy. There are prophecy conferences, and there are many kinds of this. I want to be careful with my words. I know a couple of preachers that have, more than a couple, that are very good and biblical. Then there are those that add to the words of God. So I'm not going to this area at all. But by the word and by God's help, we know who are the right voices. But then priesthood. Elisha comes. Yeah, he does same stuff as Eliyah. Elisha, you say. He comes and he has food. He has this big pot of food. And there would be so much to say about that. So we always keep that perspective. The spiritual food, the table is with the shepherd. That is with priesthood. A priesthood is very similar also to the shepherding, the feeding work of the Lord. And that is really where the changes happen. Our lives are changed by the priesthood of our good high priest. If a prophet comes, people can be scared. They can be inspired. Yeah. There's times when that is needed. But that is making room for the priest. John the Baptist had to come with his fiery message, with his leather coat. Well, interesting leather coat. He literally had walked out of the society. Like, he had walked out of everything. He had walked out of every human provision. He had walked out of every thought of humanism. He wanted nothing to do with that. He wanted to be in an absolute quiet place to hear what is heaven saying. There's too many voices. Too many voices. Man, he had to get to be and hear the voice of God. In one way, you know, there's also feeding there, that to be in the presence of God like that, it feeds you. But in a more absolute sense, it was this fiery message. I mean, it would have been something to really see this man, to preach with the fire, like Elijah the prophet. But then after him comes the Messiah. He comes humbly. Let me just join this line of sinners, and I'll be on the back of the line, and everybody's going to see now that I'm a sinner. Let them think that. That's fine. And there's an action where the priesthood is transferred from John the Baptist was representing the earlier priesthood. By the way, angels don't make mistakes. In Israel's history, is it once or twice in the recorded history, which is not in the scripture, angel had appeared to high priest earlier. But angels know who should be the priests, high priest. And Israel that time had corrupt priesthood. That was paid off, like you could buy your possessions and yeah. But angels don't make mistakes because they get their orders from, elect angels, they get their orders from heaven. So the angel appeared on the right side of the altar to John the Baptist's father. And many people believe so, and I believe it to be the case, that John the Baptist should have been, his father should have been the high priest. And therefore, John the Baptist was the heir of the priesthood, the high priesthood, we say. He represented the Aaronic priesthood. So he was like the last in line of that. So when the Messiah comes and says, I need to be baptized by you. That was kind of like a surprise to this baptizer. Yes, and then Messiah, he's not the fiery preacher there. Well, he had those moments later down the road, but he just came humbly and received the immersion, and then the heavens opened and said, this is my beloved son. And it is, that's kind of like a part of the format for the high priest. Exactly. And heaven's declaration that this is my beloved son. He received now the right priesthood. That fulfills all righteousness. It's not the act of baptism that could fulfill all righteousness. It is this priesthood that he now enters on the cross that fulfilled all righteousness. And in all of his actions fulfills all righteousness. We mentioned the other day that Peter refers to that in the first chapter, Second Peter, first chapter, that we heard this voice from heaven. And then English Bibles say, but we have a more sure word of prophecy. Aramaic Bible says, we have also a sure word of prophecy. Not meaning that what was spoken from heaven was less sure, but we have the voice and then we have the written. So it's not that the ear gate was not quite as sure as what the eye gate reads. Both of them are sure. But the written word is what we go by in this age. So, okay. So priesthood is something where is the food. The spiritual food is there as our high priest is giving it to us. So I want to say, let's go to Zechariah, which means the Lord has remembered the remembrance of the Lord. That's a very interesting name, and generally speaking, it's very good to pay attention to the names of each book, because the name is so descriptive to what the message is. And in this book, it shows how the Lord has never forgotten his promises. He remembers what he has said. He will bring them to the fulfillment. And here in chapter 12, in the prophetic word, the main food is in the priestly word. The finished work message is really priestly, very priestly. I'm personally conscious of this, that there's more than one type of a remnant. I remember in, what was that message in early days that Dr. Stevens preached? Corporate Pentecost, yeah. He spoke about remnant and remnants, as I recall, remnants. And he said, there'll be really a help of the Holy Spirit in the end days for this church and others of a like spirit. Help me if that was the case. This is what I remember. And I am conscious of it, that there's remnants. I like this way, heart-to-heart talk, because sometime in a heart-to-heart talk comes out things that wouldn't come out in a very prepared verse-by-verse message. And we can hear, you got the best teachers here, really. It's just extra grace here to be with you. And I'm a student, that's what I'm a student of the Scriptures and a Messiah, and student of you all. But when we share like this, from the perspective we have, sometimes it's helpful to share without any hurry to get all the verses, right? So I'm aware that there's more than one type of a remnant. The remnants are really the seekers of God to whom God has put the... There are individual seekers, but they usually are in groupings here and there and here and there. And I would even say that this ministry by God has been helpful, because now the media and all these different ways that the message is out there, this ministry has been able to connect to remnants here, remnants there, and this is so precious. There are various types of remnants. The finished work remnant, this is like where the spiritual food is, where the feeding is, where the lamb is. There's always such a battle and fight about that table. Psalm 23, where it says that he sets a table for us in the presence of the enemies. There's such a battle about the table, to keep the table pure, like the Passover table had to be pure from leaven, to keep that clarity of the table. We have so much examples in scriptures about that. But then there are also remnants that are more sometimes into Bible prophecy. We're to understand them. We're to kind of like really thank God for them. A lot of them pray very fervently. They may not be always in the same intensity to the finished work side of the feeding ministry. But God has a purpose for all this, and he would like us all to understand that prophecy is for the priesthood, not the other way round. Because the eternal priesthood, which is what goes on forever and ever and ever, this table is there, the king's table is there, King Solomon's rich foods are there, all are there. But then there is a time when a table could become a snare. And that's a topic that is a difficult one to talk about, because like with natural food, we can have these spiritual libraries. We can have theological volumes. We can have teachers. We can have itching ears at who is the favorite teacher on television, or and I'm not saying this like harshly, but there could be such an abundance that if nobody is preaching world vision or street level vision to get the gospel to somebody's out there dying, or so the prayer. Neology with theology. So the prayer stirring, this prophetic side has to break out sometime. Not with something man-made stuff, but that the word comes like Billy Graham came and said, on this city is a dark cloud, and God's got to come and penetrate that. And I almost felt like saying, yeah, and send a body of believers that live a body life in the middle of this city, because this is like Eltimore, the circle of God. I didn't get even to the introduction, but we need to take a break. We'll do it later. Thank you.